Good morning. It is good to see all the visitors today. Just as a couple notes, God is such a merciful God. I don't know, I've told some of you, but I had a black spot growing on the side of my head that was getting rather big. My wife was concerned, so she finally talked me into going to a dermatologist, and they ripped a big chunk out of my head, and they did a biopsy on it, and I was very fortunate. By the way, I was anointed, but the results came back benign, so that was certainly good news. So anyway, very pleased with that. I did go last week to Chattanooga and saw David Dobson and his wife Denise. It was good to see him. He's taken over the church in Chattanooga now. They did tell me to please tell all of you hi. They miss you, and of course now he'll be heading to the Philippines in just another week or so. So very busy. I also did go visit Fred Keller's and Lucretia Wednesday. Obviously, I hate to see Lucretia, in the situation she's in, but she was very responsive. She laughed. She joked a little bit. She actually responded to some of the things that we were talking about. I hate to say it, Fred looks a little thin. He's losing a lot of weight, so I would certainly ask you to please continue to pray for Fred and Lucretia. They certainly could use that. I will say this, that after they did the biopsy and all that, I did have a neurologist that wants me to have an MRI on the brain. So I asked him, in keeping with Tim's sermon, I said, "Are you looking for nothing?" My wife would probably confirm that. But anyway, certainly hope all that turns out well. Anyway, it is good to see all the people that are visiting this week. And I will be heading back to Florida again to do some work on my properties for a week and then before I head back. And I'll be down there with all those college kids. What a wonderful thing to be down there at spring break. Not looking forward to that. Anyway, this morning, if you want a title to sermon, so I will give you a title. How long did Israel sojourn in Egypt? How long did Israel sojourn in Egypt? And since we're approaching the Passover, I want to touch on the Abrahamic Covenant. Because when we look at the Abrahamic Covenant, we're actually looking at the beginning, which set the conditions and everything up for the Passover and set it up for the Exodus. So I'd like to go through that a little bit today. Now, I'd love to go through the entire Abrahamic Covenant and hit details on it, but on a split sermon, that would be next to impossible, so I won't get quite that detailed. However, God's covenant with Abraham covers both the first Passover, in other words, the physical Passover that took place in Egypt where the death angel passed over the children of Israel, the ones that had blood of the lamb on their lintels, and the second Passover, which was the spiritual Passover, the death of Christ as the Passover lamb. Now, the first involves the children of Israel leaving Egypt. We're well aware of that. The second one involves the death of Christ and his defeat over death. But what I'd really like to spend a little bit of time today is clearing up what seems to be a conflict of the dates that Israel sojourned in Egypt. Now, if you'll turn to Exodus 12, you'll see where the children of Israel sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. Now, notice in verse 41, Exodus 12, verse 41. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 430 years," and notice this next statement, very important, this next statement. "It was even on that very same day that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." However, if you turn back a little ways to Genesis 15, And you'll notice in Genesis 15, we find in verse 13, Genesis 15, verse 13, we find, and he, this is God speaking, and he said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and afflict them 400 years. Not 430, 400 years. Now, which is correct? 400 years, 430 years? Actually, they're both correct. They are both correct. So let's take a look and see what this covenant that God made with Abram consisted of. First of all, let me point out that we obviously know that Israel was certainly not in captivity for 400 years in Egypt. That actual captivity did not even begin until Jacob actually went into Egypt. Now, not even the captivity didn't begin, but we know that they did their sojourn in Egypt. It didn't even take place till Jacob actually brought his family to live in Egypt. And we'll look at that date later. However, let me point out that statement that I just read in Genesis 15 where it says, and shall serve and afflict them. Now, actually, this should have been a parenthetical statement. You know, it was one of these things, because otherwise you're thinking, well, they're going to be afflicted 400 years. They're not going to be. This is a parenthetical statement. Actually, if I went back and reread that a little bit and said, he, God, said to Abram, you must surely know that your seed shall sojourn in a land that is not theirs for 400 years. Oh, and by the way, they will serve and be afflicted. Again, trying to make the point that that parenthetical statement is not all-inclusive of the 400 years. Let's turn to Galatians 3 to see what this covenant is all about. In Galatians 3, let's see what the promise was of this covenant, and let's begin in verse 14. This is Paul speaking, Galatians 3, verse 14, and it says, in order that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And notice in verse 15, notice what you can and cannot do with the covenant. You cannot add to it, take away from it, once that covenant has been established. And he says, Paul says, brethren, and then he says, I'm speaking from a human perspective, even when a man's covenant has been ratified, no one nullifies it or adds to it. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises spoken. He does not say, and to your seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, that the covenant ratified beforehand by God to Christ cannot be annulled by the law. Now here he's speaking about it can't be annulled by the old covenant. When they came out of Egypt and then they were given the old covenant at Mount Sinai. But anyway, they cannot be annulled by law, which was given 430 years later, an important statement, so as to make the promise of no effect. Now notice again the reference to 430 years, and also the fact that the covenant was to be to the seed of Abraham. Now this is important because we need to see that covenant began with Abraham's seed. Okay, just keep that in mind. So when did the 430-year period begin? And these promises that were made to Abram, because that's when the covenant was first brought up, was to Abram. Let's turn back to Genesis 12. Let's go back and start a little bit earlier. In Genesis 12, and this is where God told Abram to leave his land, and he was to go to a land that he would show him. And notice here in verse 2, Genesis 12, verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great." Now notice this, these are all physical blessings, physical at this point. "And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." And then we switch over here. He says, "And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." These are the spiritual blessings through Christ. Then Abram. Notice his response. He didn't question God. He didn't say, "Hey, I've got to take a little bit of time here. I want to go get my family together." It simply says, "Then Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now notice that both the physical and the spiritual promises to Abram were made to him at the age of 75. He was 75 years old. However, I want you to notice there was no covenant established at this time between God and Abram. There was no covenant at this time. This is just God saying, "This is what I will do." Now let's fast forward a little bit to what we read before in Genesis 15, which we read part of earlier. But first notice that Abram was childless at this time. He had no children. In verse 2, it says, "And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me since I go childless? And the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And by the way, if you didn't have any children, they usually had somebody they picked that kind of oversaw their wealth and took care of everything. And that person actually would inherit what they had. And that's why he was making this statement. They still would inherit some, even with the when he had children later. But now notice in verse 4 that he would have children of his own seed. It says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, Look now toward the heavens, and number the stars if you're able to count them." You think you can count the stars? Want to go out and try it some night? Think of that. Abraham goes out, he looks up, and I think I've mentioned once before, being out at sea, middle of the Pacific Ocean on a very small ship, totally darkened ship, and I'm telling you, the sky is so covered with stars, you can't see anything but stars. It's just amazing when you take a look at something like that. But anyway, he told him to look at the stars, if they could count them. And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." This is the word seed again that was speaking earlier in Galatians 3, speaking of Christ, talking of the spiritual seed, not just the physical, the spiritual seed, the multitudes that will become his children through Christ. And now notice in verse 8 what Abram asks God. He says, "By what shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Well, then God had him prepare a special offering. He asked for I want an offering of a heifer, a she-goat, a ram, a turtle dove, young pigeons. And he was told to divide them down the middle, with the exception of the birds. And then in verse 12, "And it came to pass as the sun was going down," and that's important. That means it was not dark yet. It was not the next day. And by the way, this would have been Nisan 14. "As the sun was going down, that a deep sleep fell upon Abram." And by the way, if you go back and read, there were the birds had come down and they were flocking toward the sacrifice and he had to chase them away. So we know it was at least still daylight at the time. "But a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him." And then we read, this is what we read earlier in verse 13. "And he said to Abram, You must surely know that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and afflict them 400 years. And then in verse 14, he describes, here's where he actually describes the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. And he said, "And also I will judge that nation whom they shall serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great abundance or great substance. It's very important to look at that. Now notice in verse 17 and 18, in verses 17 and 18, and this is what is known as the maledictory oath. Now a maledictory oath is kind of like placing a curse, but a maledictory oath, and it was the confirmation of the covenant with Abram. It says, and it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the pieces. This is Christ promising his own death in the event that he does not meet the terms of this covenant. This is how sure this covenant is. He's the one that passed through. He became the sacrifice. So by passing through the parts of the animals, he ratified his part of the covenant with Abram. He ratified it. And then in verse 18, it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant, right there, tells you right there, in that same day he made a covenant with Abram. Now this covenant on the part of Christ is now absolute, cannot be broken, cannot be nullified, cannot be changed, as we read in Galatians 3. All the promises to Abram now must be fulfilled. Once this covenant is ratified, and notice 400 years must take place, 400 years now must take place where the children of Israel would be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, as stated in verse 13. And again, remember this promise is to the seed of Abram, who had no children at this time. In other words, the 400 years could not yet begin. Could not begin. He had no children. And if the promise was to his seed. So let's go to chapter 16. Now in chapter 16, we see where Sarai, Abram's wife, not having any children at this time, no children, she was convinced that Abram, you know, to have children, you know, so he had Abram go to her handmaid Hagar to give him children. In other words, she didn't put her trust in God. She was taking things into her own hand. Now, that wasn't God's intention, and I'm not going to go into the whole story of Ishmael at this time, but obviously that was not God's intention. However, suffice it to say that this took place immediately after the maledictory oath to the confirmation of the covenant with Abraham, or to Abram at the time. And then at the end of chapter 16, you will see that Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. 86. That would have made him basically 85 years old the previous year when Christ confirmed the covenant with Abram. However, this covenant that we're speaking about here, God has fulfilled his promise to Abraham when he became a sacrifice and confirmed this covenant. But this covenant has not been totally confirmed yet because a covenant requires a blood sacrifice by both parties. And this covenant is only valid when both parties agree with a blood sacrifice to the covenant. Now we move to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, we see where Abram is now, he's 99 years old. And God confirms his covenant with Abram, and he changes his name to Abraham. So in verse 1, chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my name. Notice this. As for me, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Confirming the covenant. Neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make many nations of you. These are, by the way, physical promises to his seed. Physical promises. And kings shall come from you. And then notice in verse 7 how this covenant is permanent and everlasting. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to your seed after you. Confirming the covenant. And he also, at this time, he changes Sarai's name to Sarah, who would become the mother of many nations. Now over to chapter 21. And in chapter 21, we see where Sarah gave birth to Abraham's son Isaac. In chapter 21 and in verse 5. And we're told, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. 100 years old. This is important, very important. Up until this point, Abraham's seed sojourning for 400 years could not have begun. He didn't have any seed. And Abraham had not ratified his part of the covenant at this point. Remember, it takes both parties to commit to a blood sacrifice before a covenant is confirmed. God had already confirmed his part of the covenant. Abraham had not confirmed his part of the covenant. Now let's go to chapter 22. Now this is where we read of the sacrifice of Isaac. And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and he went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, to his young men, you stay here. You stay with the donkey, and the boy and I will go yonder and worship and come to you again later. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and this is important to think about as well, but he took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac, his son. Now the reason I bring that up, Isaac obviously wasn't a little 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old child. He's carrying the firewood. And he took the fire pot in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, my father. I can imagine how Isaac is feeling at this point. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the firewood and the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Imagine the faith of Abraham at this point, the faith that he had. So they both went on together. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar, the altar there, and he laid the wood on it, and afterwards he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the wood upon the altar. Faith? You want faith? Any of you have children? Think about that. And Abraham stretched out his hand, he took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham! And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was entangled in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Think of the faith that he had, and God provided. Because Abraham was willing to trust God and to sacrifice his own son, God provided the blood sacrifice for Abraham, and now Abraham's blood sacrifice ratified his part of that covenant. His part of the covenant was now also ratified. So now we have both parties that have ratified this covenant to Abraham. Now, we're not told exactly how old Isaac was, so there's a little speculation here, when the sacrifice took place. But I think it's reasonable to assume that he was about 15 years old. And again, consider the fact that he was strong enough to carry the firewood, and he wasn't too little. But when we go back to the time that God ratified the covenant with Abram, Abram's seed were to be sojourners 400 years, as I mentioned. Add another 15 years to when Isaac was born. And add another 15 years until Abraham's ratification of the covenant, and we come to a total, if you take the 400 years plus that 30, you now have 430 years. Now notice the wording in Exodus 12. Let's go back to Exodus 12. Now in Exodus 12 and in verse 41, notice the wording. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years. Remember this statement? It was even on that very same day that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. What was that very same day? It was exactly 430 years earlier when God ratified his covenant with Abram. 430 years earlier. This was the 15th of Nisan when the Exodus began exactly as God told Abraham in verse 18 of Genesis 15, where he said, in the same day the Lord had made a covenant with Abram, saying, I have given this land to your seed from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, just for, you might, well, we'll be going back to Genesis again, but let's go back for a minute to Hebrews. See what Paul had to say about this sacrifice and what he said about Abraham. The faith chapter, chapter 11. Now, notice in Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 8, what Paul had to say about Abraham. He said, by faith, Abraham. This is verse 8. By faith, Abraham, being called of God to go out into the place where he would later receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went, not knowing where he was going. And notice in verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise like a foreigner, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, sojourning in a land that was alien to them at the time. 430 years after God ratified his covenant with Abraham, the children of Israel left Egypt on the first day of unleavened bread, Nisan 15. And just as he had promised in Genesis 15 and verse 14, where he said, and I will also, let's go back to Genesis. Let me read that again. I think this is very important. Genesis 15 and verse 14. And I will also, notice this, I will also judge the nation, speaking here of Egypt, whom they shall serve, and afterwards they will come out with great substance. Is that not exactly what happened 430 years later? Verse 35 says, and the children of Israel did exactly according to the word of Moses, and they asked for articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing from the Egyptians. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they granted their request, and they stripped the Egyptians. Just as God had told Abraham 430 years earlier. 430 years earlier. Of course, we know that after the Exodus, it was about 7 weeks later that God established the old covenant with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, thus fulfilling the physical promise to the seed of Abraham. You know, the whole story of the old covenant, obviously, if you go back and you read, it's Exodus 19 through something like 24, where God gave his commandments, his ordinance, and notice, and then all the people said, "We agree, we agree." And as we read in Galatians 3, nothing in the laws and the ordinances of the old covenant annulled or changed any of the covenant that God gave to Abram in Genesis 15. And later, the new covenant was established once again based on the same thing with Jesus Christ. The old covenant was physical, the new covenant was spiritual. Now, the covenant that God ratified with Abram in Genesis 15 and ratified 30 years later by Abraham established four specific promises. First promise was the promise of physical seed that was fulfilled by the birth of Isaac 15 years later. Second was the promise of the spiritual seed established with the birth of Jesus Christ, who was of the seed of Abraham. Third, the promise of physical land that was fulfilled through the old covenant established with the nation of Israel. And fourth, the promise of the spiritual kingdom of God, which Jesus Christ established with the church in the new covenant. Four things, all confirmed by this covenant. Now, I'm just going to go into a few figures here, again, to kind of summarize the period of time that they were sojourning. And again, you've got to look back. I bet I read 50 articles on this. And I got to tell you, a lot of people have different ideas of when exactly the Exodus took place. But I'm going to give you some facts, because this is biblically the facts out of the Bible. And most people, most agree that the Exodus took place in 1445 B.C. Now, some people think there was a later Exodus in 1275, most again, so I'm going to use the figure 1445 B.C. So, when we look at the covenant with Abram, 430 years earlier than the Exodus. So, if you add that 430 years to the Exodus, you come up with the year 1875 B.C. Now, if you subtract the 15 years until Isaac was born, you come up with the figure 1860 B.C. Isaac, the age of Isaac, when Jacob was born, he was 60 years old. So from the time when Isaac was born until Jacob was born, subtract 60 years from 1860, and you'll get the year 1800 B.C. Finally, the age of Jacob when he entered Egypt, he was 130 years old when he entered Egypt. You'll find that in Exodus 47:9. If you take that 130 years and subtract it, you come down to the year 1670 B.C. Now, the difference between 1445 of the Exodus and 1670 is 225 years in Egypt. Obviously, they weren't in slavery because they weren't in slavery until after Joseph died. And you could go into the dates on Joseph, and you could probably pin this down just a little bit more. But just to give you a rough idea, there were probably about 225 years in Egypt. How many more years? Again, until they went in slavery, it depends on what you consider a generation. You know, once ratified, these promises could not be changed. They could not be annulled. God's word is always sure. Always sure. And all the conditions of this covenant were met. There's no conflict between Genesis 15 and Exodus 12. There's no conflict. There was a 30-year period when Abraham and later Isaac, they sojourned in a strange land before the covenant was ratified by Abraham through his willingness to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. 430 when you add them all together, on exactly the same words, on exactly the same day that God ratified this covenant with Abraham, the children of Israel were passed over by the death angel of all the firstborn on the 15th of Nisan. Well, they were passed over on the 14th of Nisan, not the 15th. On the 15th of Nisan, he kept his promise to Abraham and his seed, and the children of Israel made their exodus from Egypt. And as he promised, they did not leave empty-handed. Same statement made 430 years earlier. You know, as we renew the Passover of the new covenant that we have been the recipients of, the spiritual blessings of, we made a covenant. If you were baptized, you gave up your life. You said you buried that old life in a watery grave. You came up out of that watery grave as a new person, committed to God that you are going to live a definitely different life under a covenant that you have just made with God. We are the recipients of those blessings. What I want you to do as we approach and we think about this upcoming Passover, we are renewing that covenant. We're renewing it. Every year we go back and renew that covenant, these promises that we made to God, the covenant that we made with Him. And these covenants are sure. We need to be observers of these covenants. So keep that in mind. Think about that. Study these things. You know, Salah. Think on these things. They're important. They really are.